Blog Talk Radio.
Progressive presents Mind.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Glad to welcome you back tonight, this evening. Today is Monday, the 22nd of May. We thank God for you. Thank God for joining us tonight. And we pray that all is well in your home, with your family, and with those in your circle of influence. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about fathers. It's Father's Day is coming up. Next month is going to be Father's Day. And so today we wanted to talk a little bit about words of encouragement to the fathers and to the husbands in the home, and just be able to remind you to celebrate your father, celebrate the man in your life, or even if your father has passed away, or for some who don't know who their father is or don't have a relationship with them, bless those men who stood in your life and stood in the gap, uncles, cousins, men in your church, men in your neighborhood, your teachers. Those men have stood and been examples of masculinity and manhood in your life, and honor them on this Father's Day. Amen? Amen. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, the topic is going to be what husbands and fathers bring into the home, that peace that's missing, that peace that sometimes we don't notice is not there, but should be there. So to encourage those brothers out there, young fathers, young families, to encourage you not to give up, fathers of teenagers and middle schoolers, and even fathers of adult children, to be able to continue to be that support and be their fathers. Because one thing in this life, being a father and a husband, are two lifetime jobs God has given us. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to be reading from a scripture, home of scripture and prayer. We have a couple of announcements, some upcoming events for the month of June, and we're going to move on with the show from there. Amen. So now I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 11, starting at verse number 33. And the Word of God says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counsel, or who hath first given to him, or be recompensed upon him again. For of him and through him and to him all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Father, we say thank you tonight, O God. We thank you, God, for being the God of the universe, the Creator, Lord God, the God of righteousness, O God, the God, O God, who sent his Son to die for us, O God, the sacrifice, O God, to redeem us back to himself because he loved us, O God. So, Father, we say thank you, O God. Thank you for being God in our life, God. Father, today we're praying, oh God, for the lost, for the unbeliever, oh God, that something will be heard and said in their life today, that they will hear the gospel, oh God, the true and pure gospel message of Jesus Christ, and their lives will be changed. Today we're praying for husbands and fathers in their homes, oh God, who are bearing the burdens of fatherhood, bearing the burdens of being a husband, oh God, that they're leading in their homes, oh God, they're leading in the church and in their communities, oh God, that they will stand up and be the men you called them to be, that they will know their purpose, that they will know the plan for you have for their lives, oh God. Father, we're praying the Holy Spirit will continue to guide and direct them, oh God, give them wisdom and give them discernment to be the men that God has called them to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to welcome you back again. This is Christian Men's Talk. And we want to begin tonight's show with the gospel message, the pure, the straight, the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has, from the foundation of the world, God created man and created him to have dominion over this, over the animals and over this planet, and to rule and reign. But because of Adam's sin and his disobedience of Adam and his wife, Satan has gained control, and we were destined to pay the price of sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So today, each one of us will stand before him and in judgment. But God made a way out. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, the baby born of Mary, born of a virgin, to come and pay the price of redemption, to pay the price to win us back unto him, to pay the wages of sin. And because of that, and because of his resurrection power, that he was raised from the dead, that now, by faith, if we believe in who he said he was, who the Bible says he was, who God says his son was, that he was a sacrificial death for us, for all of the human race, and all we must do is believe and have faith. And come to him and just ask and just believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. He is who he says he is. We have to confess, admit we're a sinner, repent, turn away from our sins, turn away from the lifestyle we've been living in disobedience to God, and believe in our hearts, and then ask in prayer and continue to pray for Jesus to guide us and direct us. Because also, once Jesus ascended unto heaven after his resurrection, he has sent the Holy Spirit to live within us. So when we believe and confess our faith in him, the Holy Spirit is indwelling in us, that we need to be able to obey and show our love and commitment to Christ by obeying his word and his commandments. And he gave us the 66 books of the Bible so that we know the heart and mind of God. Amen. So that's as simple as the gospel. It's what we need to know. Anyone we can share it with, and the rest comes through growth, through maturation, through growing and studying and in fellowship with the saints. I always encourage folk to, you know, find yourself a body of believers, a church, a Bible study, a group of believers, and come together and grow in your faith. If you don't have a home church, a place where you're planted with God, can put people into your life to help you grow and mature. Because again, we say, you know, we have the term of being born again, but with birth comes growth. And God, and we have to understand and know that God has a purpose for each one of our lives individually, and that for us to find that purpose is only through community. Amen. So I encourage you to find yourself a church or a fellowship. If you can't find one and you're in the sound of my voice listening to me tonight, you can reach out to us on Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, on our Twitter account. And I can definitely recommend some churches in your area here in the Baltimore, D.C. area, even some churches. I know churches in New York and other places, you know, wherever you may be listening. We know we can help you find a good and solid and Bible-teaching church. Amen. Amen. Well, we have a couple of upcoming events coming up here for the month of June. Our first event is going to be sponsored by the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence, part of their 2017 Dialogue Series. This event is going to be held on Saturday, June the 10th, 2007, The Role of Men in Preventing Relationship Violence. And it's going to be a dialogue series and discussion and facilitated to share and remind men, as men of God and even men in our community, we're responsible for the growth and development of our community. that our role in preventing domestic violence, intimate partner violence. And when we talk about domestic violence, talking about husbands, wives, boyfriends, or girlfriends, the violence against children, violence against the elderly, and how, as men, as leaders in the community, how we can, what we need to do to try and prevent, to be proactive instead of reactive. And some of that is by teaching, some of that is being able to reach out to the community and to teach. And a lot of it is about relationships and how we handle relationships and how we treat one another and the heart we have for people. So we encourage you to come out and join us. Again, you can look on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You'll see it posted there. It's on Saturday, June the 10th, 2017, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. It's going to be held at the Baltimore Washington Convention Conference Center, the United Methodist Church Mission Center at 11711 East Marketplace in Fulton, Maryland. It's a free event, but we request that you call and register so we can have a head count. Lunch will be provided. You can call 410-997-0304. And get any information and answer all your questions. Amen. Also, we want to also put information out about Helping Hands Food Pantry in Pasadena, Maryland. They're located at 2322 Mountain Road, Pasadena, Maryland, 21122. The phone number there is at 410-437-0137. So, and they're open on every second and fourth Saturday of the month from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we encourage you to spread the word about that, share with those in your community who you know might need some help with food and dry goods and meat. They have a full pantry there. Just come down. Only requirement is that they need ID, one form of ID. Again, there's a Helping Hands Food Pantry. The phone number is 410-437-1037. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to share a little bit about some of the things that a husband and father brings into the home. Some of the things that we should bring into the home, that we should be striving for. Again, being a husband and being a father, they say that, you know, folk like to say there's no real instructions and we learn as we go, but there are instructions. There's the word of God that teaches us as Christian men on what we should be, how we should set the parameters of our life. It's the measuring stick, it's the blueprint for our life. And a husband and a father should bring certain things into the home. So tonight, coming up on Father's Day, I just wanted to encourage some of the brothers, some of the young men, consider when we talk about fathers and being a father and being a husband. So we just wanted to share tonight about that. The first thing is that's important is the security in the home. You know, we talk about security a lot because we got cybersecurity now. We have all kinds of security on the internet. We have people being hacked and all kinds of things going on and security in our homes from theft and burglary, but all these things. But however, as a husband and father, We can set a tone of security in our homes that our wives and our children feel safe and secure within the bounds of their home. And it's not necessarily a physical home or a physical apartment, but in that family unit, in that relationship, that we as men bring a security, that we know that our wives know and they can be dependent on us. Our children are secure because they know that their father is there with them. Their father keeps them safe, their father will provide, there'll be no lack, things will be taken care of. And when children are young, they really don't understand what it really takes. But that security of knowing that their dad is there, their dad is home, their dad is taking them to school, their dad is, you know, is there. There's a certain root, foundational and a root that's built up in the child's psyche that helps for a father. And real quick, I just wanted to bring in scripture, it speaks about it in John chapter 10. Jesus teaches that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Our nemesis, the devil, he's trying to destroy our families, again, in our homes. And not the physical home, but our family unit. That family unit of a husband, a man, a woman, and children being reared in the fear of God is the greatest example of the gospel and the glory of God on this earth. And Satan tries to kill it in a lot of different ways. He uses culture, he uses media, he uses every trick he can to destroy that God-ordained purpose and plan that God had for the human race. Because before the church, before ministries, before everything, it was a family. But God attended in a family structure that God put in place. And we can go look all the way back to Genesis. So one of the things that we, as a father, that we bring there is that security. And when we fail to bring that security, this is, you know, these are the ways that the enemy has a foothold, where things can come into the home, things can come into the family that can distract and destroy it and bring a lot of problems. We look at, if we look around today in our culture and look around in the world, the world at large, the lack of fathers and lack of fathers in the family, taking responsibility for their roles as husbands and fathers, is why we have a lot of the things in the culture. It's why we're out of control in some places, in some neighborhoods. And I don't want to be talk this about in here in the West or in America. If we look worldwide, we can see the effects and the negative effects of fatherlessness. The second one, he brings stability. That goes right along with the security. Everyone, if there was an old saying I learned a whole long time ago, a man taught in a men's ministry gathering, was if every husband and father took care of his, everything that belonged to him, that would be the stepping stone for the culture to change and shift. If you take responsibility for what's yours, for your wife, for your children, and those that are in your bloodline, if we opened up and took responsibility to lead and guide and direct and teach and mentor and disciple and discipline those that belong to us, a lot of the social issues, a lot of the cultural struggles would be, a lot of it be cut in half. And a lot of it would be taken on the churches, and especially in the churches, if we reached out beyond our little cubicles or our little, you know, circle, and was able to be open up the community and care for one another and truly care for one another, a lot of the social issues would be corrected and be able to address. So, as a father and a husband, we bring security. A husband brings a foundational word, the words that can build on life. Oftentimes, our children roll their eyes, and our wives may give us a humorous grin when it comes to us taking control and laying down the rules and the structure. But as a husband and father, we are called to be, to set the atmosphere, to set the structure in the home. It all feeds off of us. Even when things don't seem like they're going that way, everyone in the home is looking to you as a father or your wife as a husband. But there's no greater thing, terrible thing, than when a wife loses respect and trust for her husband. And that's one of the things a lot of us have to look at and get to the place where we realize it, and then work to regain it, to seek it, to fix it, to heal that thing, to reconcile that thing. Because, again, this is what God has done for us through Jesus Christ and through his death and his sacrifice, where he has reconciled us back to himself. So us as husbands and fathers have to find the same way to be sacrificial in our love, sacrificial in our thinking, to be able to build and endure our broken homes and families and relationships. But we have to realize something is broken or something is missing to be able to make that turnaround, to repent and start to do differently. It may not be easy. It may not be instant. But if you set your heart onto it and you pray and seek God's guidance and discernment and wisdom, and be obedient to his word and what he calls you to be, these things can happen. I mean, I have a testimony. I've known brothers who struggled. I struggled through issues. And we know that the word of God is, and the Holy Spirit, is the way to regain our footing and our purpose and to be husbands and fathers. Amen? Our next one is the culture, the atmosphere in our homes. As we are raising children, you know, a lot of some of these things I look back on. As I know a brother who has adult children, he's been in the church since he was in his mid-20s. And one of the things he said that he regretted most was he really advocated and turned over the spiritual growth of his children to the youth department or the youth pastors and youth ministers. Or the youth ministry, the Awana clubs, the youth department. I mean, depending on your denomination, he called a lot of things. He advocated some things over to them, and looking back on it, he wished he would have done more in the spiritual development of his children. And that's one aspect of it. The second aspect is a lot of us, we have to be honest. What is the atmosphere in our home? Are we raising, have we set the atmosphere of godliness in our home where prayer, where the word is taught and discussed and shared? Are we doing Bible studies at home, or are we waiting to go to church on Bible study night? Are we teaching our children the understanding of the gospel, or are we turning it over? And as for husbands and sons and fathers, are we advocating and our wife is doing a spiritual development of our children? So we have to look at ourselves and figure out, is that what we want? Are we setting the culture and the atmosphere for our home and for the spiritual development? And for husbands, are we concerned and discipling our wives in their spiritual growth? Do we know where our wives, where they are in their spirituality? Do we understand? Do we know what they're reading? What are they studying? Do we do devotions together? Do we pray together? Do we set time aside for one another in the spiritual matters? And then, are we doing the things as required, as in a marriage, setting the atmosphere for romance and love and commitment to help your marriage grow? Because I'll tell you, your wife, the woman you marry, is not going to be the same woman in 5 years, 10 years, and 30 years. She's going to grow. You're going to grow. But are you prepared for that? You have a lot of couples who reach a certain age, and the children, the focus is so much on the children. When the children grow and have their own lives, we find these couples have nothing in common. So are you preparing for that? Are we always setting the atmosphere and the culture in our home for growth and development and for family, be structured and rooted and grounded? And let me say this, an encouragement for those of you out there maybe listening. Nobody's home is perfect. Don't get caught up in the superficial. Don't get caught up in what you see on Sunday morning. Don't get caught up in what the images and the propaganda of some homes and some families. We're focusing on yours. How do you want your home to be? And you have to have a vision. You have to plan. You have to purpose on what you want your home to be, and glean it from the Word of God. Glean it from, you know, even if your home life that you was raised in, there was issues that you see now as an adult that you didn't realize as a child. Do you want your home to be that way? And for husbands and fathers, for those of you who wasn't raised with your father in your home, do you want to be a better father than what you saw your father as? Because again, I also say, you know, sometimes we judge our parents because we don't know what they went through just to make stuff happen. So because we were children, but you know, realize that whatever it is, what are your children seeing in you and how you're handling the same life situations? Just because your parents may have made different choices, but you see the effects of those choices. So now, what are you going to do to make it different? Because believe me, the stuff your parents went through, you might be going through, or you might be heading that direction. And because you don't know how the choices they made, but all you know is the ramifications, either good, bad, or whatever. Amen? Amen. Well, you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always call in and listen in at 646-668-2636, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the live broadcast, and also you can listen to the archive of all our past broadcasts there. And if you go onto the website, if you look on the left-hand side, you'll see the follow button. You can click that, and you'll get updates on new shows, when we post new shows, when we are broadcasting live, and you get a reminder for that. So we encourage you to reach out to us. Also, you can reach us on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. It's Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And you can go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, and join us there. Also, we post upcoming men's events there, events in the community. We have devotionals, and we just want to encourage men in men's ministry. There's opportunities when the body of Christ and men of God come together to support one another, to connect one another, to be able to disciple and mentor, and just speak a word of life into a brother, because we never know what a man may be going through on that day, on that time that we're reaching and talking to them. It may be an answer. It may be God using us or using me or using you to speak into someone's life that encouraged them. We may be on the brink of giving up. So we encourage you to join us for that every Monday and every Thursday night. Amen? Amen. Well, one thing I'm going to move on to, one of the things that also that a husband and father brings into the home is strength. I look back on the Word of God. I like the Old Testament because the Old Testament was clear-cut and defining of a lot of things when it comes to being a man. It reads in 1 Kings chapter number 2, at verse 2, it says, "Be strong and show yourself a man. Do not attempt to draw your strength from your wife or your kids. Don't whine. Don't mumble about the burdens you're carrying. Don't complain every time your children need clothes and shoes and school and dues and money and just they want things." You know, a lot of folk lived under that condemnation that every time they asked their parents for something, it turned into a big episode. I'll use that word. And that, again, affects our children on how they are raised when they come into adulthood. Some of that stuff carries over, but we should draw our strength in dealing with our and to be able to show strength in our families by us drawing closer to God and seeking His strength, His wisdom, His knowledge, His discernment. We can't be weak. We can't be whiny. We can't let the things of being a husband and father. You know, one of the things we speak about in men's groups and the men's ministry I'm part of is sometimes it's not hard being a man. I mean, it is hard being a man. It is hard being a father. That's why everybody can't do it. It's as simple as that. This is why we see in cultures, in a lot of cultures, why there's advocating, there's brothers running away from it because it's hard. It takes sacrifice. It takes selfishness. It takes living a sacrificial life, a selfless life, putting someone else before yourself. These are the characteristics that we have to instill in young men to be husbands and be fathers. It's not for the weak. It's not for the wishy-washy. It's not for the whining. It's not for the person who can't endure anything, but it has to be their way, or they're not happy, or they're not whatever. But it's not turned out the way they want it. So these are the things that we have to be able to, especially in the body of Christ, be able to mentor and be able to reach and be able to encourage one another and to and show our young men that it takes to be a man. Be strong and show yourself a man. And the Word of God talks about husbands living in consideration of their wives, giving honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, so that they too are also heirs to the grace of God, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And that's a scripture for 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. And we have to sometimes realize that we sought out our wives. We chose that we wanted to start a family and move into that place to be able not to be able to do what it takes to make that relationship and that bond work and grow is our failure. So we have to also always, you know, look at ourselves, evaluate ourselves, see who we are, see what choices we made that were not beneficial to our marriage and to our relationship, or that bring, or even in the midst of it, what are we doing to cause the troubles, and how can we solve it and fix it? And how are we coming together with our wife and leading our wife through our troubles? Because true leadership is opportunity to lead folk through challenges. It's easy to lead when everything is going well, but when we're challenged and pressed upon, that's when the sign of a true leader stands up. That's when the sign of a husband and a father, when it doesn't go all your way, when you don't have a job or the finances or a bills are due or whatever it is, even if it's sickness within the family, this is the time when folk are looking for the leadership, your strength, for your ability to stand in the midst of a storm. Because when you're not there, when you're not standing up, your wife, your children, the women in your life, they have to step into a spot that they're unfamiliar with. I say that sometimes I may get into trouble. But there's a role for men and there's a role for women. There's a role for wives and there's a role for husbands. And these are God-given roles and responsibilities that we're called to be. And when one thing is lacking, the other thing sometimes is in a place where it's out of place. Let me just say that. It's out of place. Again, this is why we hear Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are passionate about men's ministry, time for men to come together, time to speak into men's lives, time to encourage men, to teach men. We can't assume that everyone's got it, everyone knows. You know, we can't assume that everyone has the structure. You know, it's good to want to be a husband and have a family, but if we're honest with ourselves, even my brothers who've been in marriage a long time, when you got married, you didn't know all the answers. And you learned, and you were open to learn and do things differently. Because especially for young couples, they tend to do, you know, you have two young people come together, they do exactly what they learned at home. And that may or may not work for them. But then they have to have the maturity and the passion to make the marriage work, to get past those struggles. You know, I've done a lot of surveys on marriage, and it's the first 5-7 years are sometimes the biggest struggle in marriage of getting to really know each other, to get into that groove where you become one flesh. You're not your parents' son, you're not your parents' daughter. Now you are a family on your own, and you're rooted and grounded, and this is who you are, and this identifies you as a couple and as a family. And then you press and you grow from there. But a lot of folk don't make it. If we look at statistics, we look around. I'm not even going to talk about divorce rates in the church. I'm just going to say in the community at large, this is the thing that happened. Because of overestimated expectations. You know, they think this marriage is, they have the romantic fantasy, or they have a fantasy of how their parents' marriage was, whatever it is. It's not good. It won't work for them, and it brings issues. And why they don't know how to come out of the issues, how to survive, how to work through a problem. You know, maybe they weren't in maturity. That's where maturity comes. Maturity is one of those things where you have to be able to know how to work through the process and through the problems and not give up as soon as it don't go our way. I think that's one of the greatest battles we have in marriages, and marriages struggling, is the immaturity level. Amen. Well, again, this is Deacon Farr, Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you like to share your comments, share your insights, inputs on what we're talking about tonight, we're talking about the things that what a husband and father bring into the home and his responsibilities as a word of encouragement tonight. So we just wanted to continue to be able to do that and speak into the lives of the brothers tonight and encourage them. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we have, have one more point tonight. For encouragement, and then we're gonna just hopefully that something was said today would encourage you, that would stir up in you something that would just help you to be able to press and continue on. Because again, we want to see marriages, we want to see men succeed, we want to see them fulfill their full potential of what God ordained them to be from the foundation of the world. Because even no matter where you are as a father and a husband, remember, God ordained it. This is what God's purpose for your life was. Nothing by surprise. He knew you was going to meet your wife, your girlfriend. He knew about your children before you knew about your children. So there's a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a direction. Amen? So one of the things that we want to share some solutions, some things you can try and implement to try and turn things around. And just to make your home life better. You know, there's no such thing as getting too better or too gooder. I guess that's a word. But there's always a time for tweaking and tuning up. And, you know, we have our cars. How many brothers out there you wash your car? Maybe once a week. Some of you wash it twice a week. You have tune-ups, tires, oil changes. You do the maintenance to maintain it. So when you're ready to use it, it's there. Thing in our marriages, same thing in our homes, same thing as being fathers. Are we tuning up? Are we preparing ourselves to be able to go for the long haul, for the long ride? Amen? Just imagine if you was getting your car ready and you knew you had issues, you know you can't take your car and drive cross country or go down south or go on vacation until you get those things fixed. It's the same thing with our marriages. It's the same thing us as fathers. Are we doing the things to tune us up? So I want to share some things here, a little bit of tune up on your relationships with your children and with your wife. Is your home secure? That's one of the first points we talked about earlier. You know, if you didn't have home security, how would you have a home with no locks and the windows didn't lock, no door locks, the door was just open? Are you conditioned to protect your home? Are you sustaining an awareness to protect your family spiritually? You know, are we praying? Are we sowing into the lives, spiritual growth into our families, into our wives and children? Are we looking for ways to add security? You know, are we still able to, you know, prepare our family in the things of God, but also not that we're going to come monks and lock ourselves down, but how do we interact with the community, with the church? Are we participating in the church? Are we rooted and grounded in the body of Christ? Are we in true fellowship? Are we in a superficial fellowship as church members? That's where security comes, because security comes in community and in gathering together and being honest and open with each other. Sometimes it takes transparency. And for men, if you're transparent and if you're in a place where you and your wife are in a place where you know this church, this community celebrates and supports marriage, that's the place you should be. If they do not, if there's not a place where they're on purpose trying to strengthen you and your marriage, you need to find a place where you can. Now, let's say you have to leave your home church, but the ministry, the gospel, the Christian community is wide and deep. If you know what you need to fix your marriage, I encourage you to find that Christian ministry, Christian fellowship for your marriage. Just like when we talk about men's groups. You know, it's nice to have a men's group there, but if you don't and you need your company of Christian men, reach out to us. I know of 5-6 men's groups that you can participate with, become part of, and connect with a fellowship. And because if you need it, you need it. It's like anything else. You have to know what you need to know what you need. Amen. For strength and encourage our family, do we use our words? Do we flatter? Do we monitor the words? Do we monitor what our children watch? Do we monitor how we talk to each other? Even in the midst of anger, do we understand how we talk to each other in the words we use? Do we flatter? Are we encouraging our wives? Are we encouraging our children? Are we encouraging ourselves? Do we have someone in our life who encourages us? Again, this is about community and being connected with those people who are important to us and care about us and reach out to us. And one last thing with that is, in the body of Christ, you know when you're in true fellowship on how many times during the week, not on Sunday, are you in contact with someone that's in your church? Oh, the only time you see him is on Sunday. And even in that, is that the only time you see God? Is that the only time you read your word? Is that the only time you pray? Is the only time you do praise and worship is on Sunday, and you leave it to all week for those 2 hours, and you think you're good and growing, but are you spending time in your word as a husband and father? Because you can't set the atmosphere, you can't set the blueprint if you don't have a blueprint or diagram or directions for yourself. So what are you feeding off of? What are you connected to? And on that, what kind of television programs are entertaining? What are the things that you look at that are they edifying to you? Are they encouraging, strengthening you? What are they doing to your spirit? What do you call entertainment that is ungodly and secular? What is celebrated there? You know, it's a good, I'm not going to say, you know, we have folk who draw lines, but, you know, a lot of things that there's entertainment and then there's entertainment. But is the entertainment the kind of stuff that you, is everything that you watch, should your children be watching in their formative years? I'll just leave it right there. Because everything that's on media now and TV, I only say TV, between cable and the internet, and the media now is overwhelming. But are you setting a guard? Are you standing watch? Are you being a watchman on the wall? And even our wives, the things that can get into our wives' spirit, you'd be surprised. The things that can get into our wives' spirit and have them saying things and doing things and acting out, we have to be guarding against that. But as husbands, are we standing a watchman over our wives and some of the things? And I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm not going to see you have to have the wisdom and delicacy. But again, this is about relationship. If we truly in a marriage commitment relationship, we should be able to come to each other, correct each other, and keep each other. Just imagine what would have happened. I'm going to use the example of scripture of Adam, Moses, and Abraham. If they would have not listened to their wives or corrected their wives, how different would scripture read? How different would their lives have been?
That's a little Bible study homework for you. Amen. Again, so we're talking about tonight at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and we just talked about some of the things that a husband brings here. We talked about security. We talked about atmosphere. We talked about stability. And we just right now we're giving some pointers and some solutions and some of the things we need to look at. We talked about the strengthening ourselves in prayer. That's one of the biggest things. Men and brothers, are you praying? Praying for yourself. Are you praying to hear God? Are you praying for your wife? Are you praying with your wife? Are you praying for your children? Do you pray with your children? Do you cover them in prayer? You know, I bring some memories of Job in chapter 1. We pray for his children. Not that he was doing anything. He just prayed for them to cover them as a father. And we have to be in that place and get to that place. You may not have been. That's fine. But today is the day. Tonight is the night. If you're listening to my voice, just begin to pray for them, whatever they're going through. You know, we have a lot of things going on. This is the time of the year. We have graduations and commencements. But this is just the beginning of our children going out and taking the world and God using them and putting them out there. Are we praying for them? Are we praying for their jobs? I know a lot of folk out here with college degrees, they can't find employment. They can't find work. A lot of them end up going back to get their master's because they had a bachelor's. They couldn't find anything, the truth be told. But we don't talk about that. But however, you know, are we praying for our children? Are we praying with them? Are we praying that God would give them discernment and the wisdom to the direction they should go and where they should plant their feet and how God's going to use them? Are we praying for their faith to be strong, that their faith will not be beaten down even after 4 or 5 years of college? Where is their faith now? As fathers, we may have to ask those questions. As fathers, where are our children? We look at our married, our grown children. We look at their lives. What's going on in their life? Do we see what's going on in their life? Are we praying for that? Are we praying for that turnaround? Are we praying for God to give you the wisdom and discernment to be able to speak into your adult children life? If you're 60 and they're 30 and you're 60 and they're 40, do we still have a connection where we can correct our children? Because we still have the responsibility, because as long as we can, and that relationship is, we have opportunity to help them not go through some things. Because no matter what, they're our children, and the things that they're getting ready to go through, most of us have been through. And we need to share that wisdom. And we have to be, but again, you have to be in connection, in that koinonia, in that fellowship with our families to understand and help them through these processes. And sometimes we let the things of the world, we let career, we let a lot of things overwhelm us and we forget. So I pray today that men, husbands, fathers, that we repent, we look at our lives, we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we go and prepare to do what God has called us to do. And that all begins with prayer, that time out time to hear God speak, what God is speaking about your family, what God is speaking about your marriage, what God is speaking about you, and what can you do to turn that thing around and make that mid-course adjustment. They talked about that brother told me that a long time ago, you know, when you're out sailing or flying, a couple of degrees the wrong way, left or right, will take you miles off course. And sometimes it's so subtle, you don't even notice it until it's too late and you try to find your way back. So today, let this be a mid-course adjustment. Look at where we are. Look where we started. Look what God is saying to us, for us and about us, and make the change in our families and our marriages and our children and in our lives. And even for my brothers who are in the church, look around. What's going on as a church community? I know this is a bigger thing, but what's going on in your church and what is direction for the future of the church? It's funny. I wasn't raised in the church. I've only been in church a couple of years. I've been saved for about 15 years now, I think. No, it's more than that. It's almost 20. But anyway, maybe it is more than that. It's like 98, 97. But anyway, there's so many churches. In the years, I've that churches are shut down for lack of members. Nobody's coming. And the folk have aged out. It's funny when you age out in the church and, you know, you visit a church and everybody in there is over 75 years old. But the pastor's still preaching. What happened? Churches are closing down and selling their buildings because, again, apparently the members didn't think it well enough to engage and support the ministry. And sometimes, let me be clear, because I know pastors, I know a lot of men of God, that, you know, supporting your church is not you paying tithe. It's not about money. It's about your body. It's about your talents. It's about your sacrificing your time into that ministry to help that ministry grow and sustain. Because it's us. It's coming together using our talents, our skills, our abilities, and our presence. You know, I challenge any brother out there, when the last time you was at a prayer service? When was the last time you was at Bible study? Just the last 6 months. I know everybody's thinking about excuses, but I had to, but I couldn't. That's fine. Again, opportunity to repent and to move forward. Prayer services, Bible studies. These are the things that strengthen the church. You know, Sunday is one thing, but there's a whole lot of stuff going on between the week, between Sunday to Sunday, that we should be part of. What is your ministry doing to reach the community? How can the church use your skills and talents to reach the community and the lost? Because, again, the church is not for us to sit there and get fat. It's for us to be able to be filled, trained, then discipled, and go out. Because Jesus said, make disciples of all men in every nation. He didn't say, build up a church full of people, and then they sit around and compare how smart they are to one another. When the last time we invited or brought someone to church, an unbeliever, not our family, whatever, a person who didn't know the gospel. Are we ministering? Are we evangelizing? Are we spreading the gospel? Are we sowing seeds? And then inviting people to church. Sometimes inviting a person to a Bible study can be more evangelistic than a Sunday service. Because some of us, I'll be honest, I know you brothers don't want to say it, but you know, sometimes a Sunday morning, all kinds of things go, and that necessarily is not going to get a person connected into the gospel. That's going to convert and it's going to change their lives. And you're going to see a true conversion, and the Holy Spirit's going to change and turn their life around. I'm just saying. So, inviting people to Bible studies, mentoring people, speaking the gospel, spreading the gospel. These are what we call the do as men, as husbands and fathers. Amen. And again, one of the biggest things is our children are gleaning from us. They see what we're doing. We're raising a generation of young people in the church. If they see us doing it, they'll learn to do it. They'll have a passion, and they think it's the norm. That's one of the things we have to understand, even in the culture. There's radical changes have gone on since the 70s to now, but there's a generation of folk who think it's just normal. Some of us always remember when these things were not normal, when sin was sin, when wrong was wrong, and there was a sense of morality. But now everything is acceptable, and in some quarters the church is condoning it, and the church beat each other up over what is sin and what's not sin. I encourage anybody, go back to the Word of God and stick to that. If you want to call sin, sin, hate what God hates and love what God loves, and I believe we'll all be okay. It's simple as that. Because everyone is not coming to salvation. If we look back in the stories of the Scripture, there was people there who lived their whole lives and did not follow the God of the Jews, did not follow Jehovah, did not believe Jehovah, did not believe who Christ was. What do you think happened to them? But that didn't stop the disciples, that didn't stop the growth of the church. But in this age, we think everybody's supposed to come for somebody. Some folk are teaching everybody's supposed to go to heaven, and that's not what Scripture says. And I challenge you to be able to read that and understand that some people are destined for hell and the punishment of the devil and his fallen angels. Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, we encourage you to reach out to us on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. And we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always join the conversation if you're listening online by calling 646-668-2636. You press 1 on your keypad if you'd like to join the conversation. And you can always reach out on us again on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you have any upcoming men's events and you want to share with the audience and share with us that we will post there, we encourage you to inbox us there with the information. And again, we just want to say thank you for joining us tonight. We pray all is well in your life. Continue to pray. Continue to be the husband and the father that God has called you to be. God bless you. And good night.
Hello, Jesus, Jesus, children, Jesus, love.